Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 86 of our Year of the Bible, day number like 3 in Vermont, the first après-ski version of the Year of the Bible, Recta Reflections, with the story of David and Goliath. I was definitely more the David than the Goliath on the slopes. A champion named Goliath. All right, so to remember where we were, David had been anointed king by Samuel, but the anointing of David, anointed leader over the Israelites, but the anointing did not mean that he immediately took Saul's place. That was going to take a while longer. However, we did see him. So he was chosen. Oh, and then he joined Saul's retinue because he had a way with song. The something king played the strings. I don't know. Anyway, the Leonard Cohen song. You know what I'm talking about. David and Goliath. So a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath. Now, Gath is one of those, remember I said the Philistines have like 5 towns over on the western side, closest to the Mediterranean. We think maybe that they came up from Greece. So they weren't like the native Canaanites. They were some other people technologically advanced. And apparently there was a really big one, 6 cubits and a span, which is like between 9 and 10 feet. Now, is Goliath really between 9 and 10 feet? The answer to that is, who cares? The point is, he was really, really big. He was really big. How big was he? There's all kinds of, listen, his helmet was this big and his spear was this big and all this kind of stuff. But here's the problem. Oh, well, so here's a clever thing. Sometimes we think, you know, there's been a lot of violence here. I like that the Philistines and the Israelites say, let's solve it this way. Instead of having a whole bunch of people killed, let's just choose our 2 biggest guys, let them go at it. Whoever wins, wins. Only one guy dies. I mean, it's unfortunate that guy dies, but at least only one guy dies. Goliath goes out, and he starts insulting Israel, insulting the worth of Israel. Now, David didn't like this. Now, it makes the point that Jesse's, you know, again, making the point that that David is not the obvious choice from his father, you know, of the sons of his brothers. He's not the obvious choice. The other three, the 3 older brothers had followed Saul into war. They're ready to go do it. But David goes back and forth between checking on his brothers and going to tend the sheep and checking on his brothers and tending the sheep. For over a month, for 40 days, Goliath goes out and yells at everybody. Says, hey, come on. They're each on a different mountains. They're on mountains across from each other with the valley in between. And he's yelling at them and insulting them. But whenever the Israelites saw him, they were terrified. David says, what's going on here? Who is, I love this, removes this disgrace from Israel. Somebody's got to remove this disgrace from Israel, which is that Goliath is disgracing Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God, right? Why should we let Goliath, when we've got Yahweh on our side, why are we going to let Goliath sit there and insult us for 40 days? And David's oldest brother, Eliab, gets mad at him and says, yo, you haven't even been here. Like, what are you talking about? You've been going back and forth. You're not the one sitting out here, you know, whatever. But David said to Saul, look, sure, I'm a shepherd, but I've fought off animals in order to protect my flock, and the God who rescued me from the lion, from the bear, will rescue me from the Philistine too. So Saul says, yeah, all right, go on. So David does. David goes out to Goliath, and when Goliath sees David, he uses the same words that we heard about David earlier, but in a very derogatory sense. He's like a little more than a boy. Sure, glowing with health and handsome, but just a boy, not one of their great warriors, not even like Saul. Remember, Saul was the tallest of all the Israelites. David not looks like a boy, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods, presumably, you know, well, I don't know what his gods are. David speaks against Goliath, not just saying I'm bigger than you, right? Not just saying that my because he's not. Not just saying that my technology is better than yours, because it's not. It doesn't say that I'm braver than you. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But David says, you come with me with a sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Right? So look at the way that, you know, just from this vantage point, look at the way that David is looking at the world differently than the way Saul has looked at the world, right? Saul has always been, again, you sympathize with the guy. He's a human being, right? But he looks at things on their surface. He looks at things as they are, and that's fine. But David looks at things and he sees them like through this other lens, right? Like he sort of he looks at the things more like the way that God might look at it, right? And so David is not as worried that Goliath is so big, or that, you know, they're outnumbered or whatever. David only cares that they have the living God on their side, and they do. I love in verse 48, the Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Now, I know he probably did that to get within slingshot distance, but you have to imagine the impulse for anyone seeing Goliath, you know, lumber towards them with ill intent, is to shrink back. The fact that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him must have been, I don't know, maybe it was a little bit unnerving for Goliath, but certainly impressive. I mean, who runs toward trouble like that? And David did. He went to his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into the forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The end, right? And then Goliath is dead. Goliath is gone. David triumphed over the Philistine. And then he went and did what he said he did. He was going to do. Took the Philistine sword, took Goliath's sword, drew it from the sheath, shoot it, and cut off his head. Cut off his head with the sword. I don't know if that was a necessary thing to do. However, what does it remind us of? It might remind you of the god Dagon. All right, so do you remember when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and they took it and they put it in their temple or whatever next to their god Dagon? And the next day Dagon was found, the little statue of Dagon was found face down. And the next time it came, it was found face down with its arms cut off, with its hands cut off, and with its head off. That's what David's doing here again, right? What Dagon, you know, what had happened to Dagon is now happening to Goliath. Why? Not because of the strength of David, but because of the strength of the living God, who is Yahweh. Now this is the beginning of the problems with Saul and David, unfortunately. Abner took David to Saul and said, hey, look at this hero. David's still holding the Philistine's head. Who are you? Saul asked. So either Saul didn't know the name of his musician, or he forgot it, or these are two separate stories that are being kind of like put together. I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Now, when we begin 18, we get the introduction of a new character, of a new person in this drama, and that's Jonathan. And Jonathan is Saul's son, but he's different than Saul. He's different. The relationship between David and Jonathan, becomes one that is very, very close. Now, going back to D.H. Lawrence, people have said some various things about maybe what this close relationship entails. I have nothing to say about that. Two guys can't be friends? But there they were. Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. Because he's very successful, but he gets a little too successful. But I do just want to point off one thing. Jonathan. So when Jonathan made a covenant with David, they became this agreement that, I don't know, they were going to stick together or something. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. This is a kind of investiture. So Jonathan is can the son of the king, maybe we can say prince. I mean, like prince is not, you know, not the appropriate word there. That's not how they thought about it. But certainly was the son of the king, and he sort of so whatever kind of clothes he's got, they got to be like the nicest ones, and he puts it on David, and that's its own kind of recognition. David did a great job. Did a little bit too good of a job, and he got some singing ladies who came out to meet him, who compared him favorably to King Saul. You shouldn't do that. They danced and sang, "Saul slain thousands and David slain his tens of thousands." Saul does not like this. He's going to be going after the kingdom. He's going to try to get me, right? He's going to try to get the crown. Now, in actuality, he was, you know, but he certainly wasn't trying to do it nefariously or anything. Israel and Judah loved David. Saul tried to get him to marry his first one of his daughters. That didn't work. But then he tried to get him to marry the second daughter, and it did work. There's a kind of hilarious. I mean, I don't know if you think it's hilarious. I've said before, said again, one of the things about reading the Bible closely is that you find out where the insults are, and you find out where the jokes are. And one of the jokes here, David, as a shepherd, right, the last son, he didn't have any money, so he's not going to be able to pay a bride price. He's not going to be able to pay the bride's father anything. Certainly not what Saul. So Saul says, what I'll take is 100 foreskins of the Philistines, and David says, ooh, I can do that. The notion of him going and attacking a bunch of Philistines, circumcising them, and then coming back and like counting out the foreskins is kind of hilarious. You have to figure it, like that was an intentional joke by the biblical authors there. At least, you know, recognizing the humor there. Anyway, Saul realized that David was going to be King David, and that his daughter Michal loved David, and Saul became more and more afraid of him. And it says there at the end, and Saul remained David's enemy the rest of his days. David comes out looking better than Saul. Saul comes out looking kind of small, you know, in spite of the fact that he was a head taller than any man in Israel. He comes out looking small and kind of petty, afraid, right? Jonathan scaled the whatever it was, the cliff before. Oh, so we have met Jonathan before, but we didn't meet Jonathan and David together before. Jonathan scaled the camp, remember, the garrison. David went and took on Goliath. Saul was a bystander, essentially, for both of those things. So, and then he looks very insecure, right? He looks very anxious, very, very insecure. Now, as a matter of fact, he was correct, right? He was correct that his kingship was not going to last very, very, very much longer. But he certainly did not handle it with graciousness or anything like that. So there we go. The story of Saul and David continues. And I'm going to leave it there for today. All right, let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you again tomorrow for our reading about David and Saul.